Hi, everyone. My name is Carla, and I'm here with David Kakish. She's the CEO of RIA Workspace. And we wanted to talk today about data loss prevention. And it's an important issue for RIAs and financial advisors, David. And so do you want to talk a little bit about what some of the problems are that you're seeing and how data loss prevention factors in?
Yeah, thanks, Carla. I want to welcome you. I want to welcome the listener. And let me start out by talking about the big problem that I see, which is over 90% of RIAs are paying for the Microsoft subscription, and they already have data loss prevention for their emails and for Teams and even for files and folders, but they don't know about it and they're not using it. The other big problem that I see is the ones that are using it are paying for a third-party tool, and it can be expensive, it can be really complicated. This is something we set up for our clients during the onboarding process, and we just want to communicate that for other RIAs that, hey, if you're using the Microsoft 365 platform, that's basically a fancy way of saying, look, if I work for your RIA and I send out an email with a social security number or an account number, it can automatically encrypt that email and send it out, and it can also notify the chief compliance officer. The other thing that it can do is it can also go ahead and basically say, look, if there are specific keywords that are important for your chief compliance officer at your RIA, such as illegal, guaranteed returns, etc., you can flag it and say, hey, look, let that email with the word illegal go out, because we don't want to slow things down for the client, but let's notify the chief compliance officer about that. So I use the term data loss prevention. Some other people might use something different, but the whole idea is, how do you make sure that all of your employees and especially the advisors are being compliant? And a lot of times it isn't necessarily intentional, but it's accidental, and you know, how do you catch that and prevent that from happening? And so, Carla, I'll share this story with you because I think this is really fascinating, and then I'll open it up for some questions for you. But I remember in my previous career over 15 years ago, I was doing a lot of security solutions for really big businesses with, you know, 1,000+ employees, and data loss prevention for email was complicated. It was hard. It was expensive, and only really large companies did that. And I remember there was a solution we worked on, and I worked on part of it, but it was for a really big company. And the cost of it was over $100,000. It involved a lot of complicated hardware, complicated software, lots of configuration and things like that. And today, I find it that it's amazing and mind-boggling that we can easily, for us at least, it's easy to set it up for an RIA with 5 employees, 15 employees, to the point that we don't even charge for it separately. It's just part of our service when we onboard a new client. So setting up data loss prevention so that your employee doesn't, you know, so that it catches when you send out an email with a social security number or account number, is just part of our onboarding process, and it's pretty advanced and pretty sophisticated, and we don't even charge an extra dollar for it. So anyways, I think that that's exciting. That's, you know, a little bit of the geek in me.
It is exciting when technology becomes accessible for smaller businesses. So especially for something like this, where you really do want to be able to keep a handle on certain types of content and whether or not it's being sent out, or certain kinds of language in emails, for example. And it sounds to me like from some of the use cases that you mentioned that a firm can get really specific about the kinds of things that they want to lock down.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the fundamental problem that an RIA has is from a head, you know, they're an RIA like yours is managing, you know, over $100 million or, you know, whatever that number is. But you only have 5 employees, 15 employees, 25 employees. So from a headcount perspective, you don't really have that many employees, such as a, you know, large bank or financial institution. But still, your requirements for IT compliance, for cybersecurity, are that of a big business. And so how do you bridge the gap where you have 10 employees, but your cybersecurity and IT compliance requirements are of that of a really large company with 1,000 employees? And I get excited about that because there are things that we do for an RIA with 9 employees that even really large businesses are not doing. And so these are things that are exciting for us. But yeah, the use cases is, look, and a lot of times it's not intentional, right? I mean, and I do that. I'll send out an email, it has an attachment, and I totally forgot that, you know, attachment, whether it's a Word document or a PDF, has some confidential information, it's a beautiful thing that it catches it, encrypts it, and then sends it out, right? And notifies the CCO. So it's a beautiful thing that we're able to do for our clients. And your RIA at 15 employees can really leverage this technology and use it. Again, even if you're not working with us, that's okay. And again, you don't need to pay a lot of money for third-party tools because they tend to be expensive and they tend to be complicated. This is something we just set up for our clients during the onboarding process.
And they can change things over time, I assume?
Yeah. So there's some baseline things that we're typically setting up for clients, like social security numbers, account numbers, you know, passport numbers and things like that. That's pretty standard. And then there's some keywords, and I don't have a list of the keywords like illegal, guaranteed returns, you know, things like that that are pretty common. But what happens is the chief compliance officer slowly starts adding other keywords that just over the years of them working, they notice that, hey, these are things that I want to get alerted when it goes out.
Right, right. And so sometimes it will actually prevent that content from leaving. Other times it'll encrypt it based on how they have their own rules set up.
Yeah. I know I kind of touched upon it in the beginning. Let me maybe talk a little bit about that because each RIA could do this a little bit different. I'll share with you what we do with most of our RIAs, but your RIA can do it, you know, however you want. So with most of our RIAs, we're taking things like social security numbers, account numbers, passport numbers. And if that goes out in an email, it's automatically encrypted. We set it up so it can automatically get encrypted and then also notify the chief compliance officer. So that's something we just set up by default. The other thing that we set up for our clients that's pretty standard is we'll work with the chief compliance officer and say, hey, you know, are there keywords that you want to get notified if it goes out in the email? So again, the word illegal or, you know, guaranteed returns, that's something that if I'm a financial advisor and I send out the email, it's not going to encrypt it. It's not going to block it. It's not going to do anything like that. It's just going to notify the chief compliance officer, because if I send out an email with the word illegal, it doesn't mean that there's anything illegal going on, right? It could be part of, you know, something specific or you know, whatever the case might be, but at least to notify the chief compliance officer so they know what's going on. In some RIAs, I don't see this a lot, but in some RIAs, they'll stop that, send it to the chief compliance officer, and then the chief compliance officer will review it and then, you know, talk with the financial advisor. But the two methods that I mentioned, those are the two most common ones.
Right. And it'll catch those references in an attachment, in the body of the email, either of those, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot. A lot of the third-party tools don't even look at the attachment, right? They're looking at the content of the email. But yeah, this is actually looking at the, the email itself, and then any attachments that are in there too. And so for a funny story, for example, we had a client that was confused to why the email was getting encrypted. And we looked at the Excel spreadsheet, and there were some hidden sheets that they forgot about that had some confidential information, and that's why it was encrypting that. So it's kind of a funny story that I just share.
Yeah, but this doesn't really impact sort of day-to-day workflow for people for the most part.
Exactly. What's happening here, it's basically saying, look, let's keep the workflow, you know, the advisors and need to really work, you know, fairly fast with their own clients. Let's not slow any of that down. But if there is a mistake, whether it's intentional or not, and usually it's not, let's catch it, encrypt it, and send it out. And if there are, you know, things that are happening, the chief compliance officer can see that and you know, just have that one-on-one with that financial advisor to let him or her know, you know, how to communicate in the future to, you know, minimize those kind of emails.
And this must be a really important tool for compliance as well.
Yes, it absolutely is. And what amazes me is how few RIAs are actually using this, because it's such a powerful IT compliance tool. Again, just a lot of RIAs don't know about that. And that's part of what we're doing. It's like, hey, look, it's available. You can use it on your own. If you want us to help you with that, you know, reach out to us and we're happy to help that. But yeah, I would guess, Carla, that over 90% of RIAs are not using this functionality within the Microsoft platform.
So it's another one of those features that they can use and then get rid of some third-party expenses or third-party integrations, for example?
Yeah. So most are probably not doing this, right? They should be, but are not doing it. Some of the advanced RIA firms are actually using a third-party tool. If you're not doing this, fantastic. Now you know how to do that. If you're using a third-party tool and it's complicated and it's a lot of money, now you've got another alternative. You don't need to use that third-party tool because you're probably already paying for it with Microsoft.
Sounds great. And so can you maybe just wrap it up with letting the listeners know if this is a complicated process to get started with, if it's relatively easy, and sort of how they can get started?
Yeah. So thanks, Carla. So I'll wrap it up with this thought that a lot of times the analogy that I use, it's like an airplane. You're already using the Microsoft 365 platform, which is fantastic. You don't need another airplane or a different airplane. What you need is a better pilot, somebody that can actually sit in the cockpit and know what to do with all those gadgets. That's really what it comes down to. So from our perspective, it's pretty easy to set up the data loss prevention for our RIAs. And I think it's just because we've done it for so many years. To be blunt, like if you're an RIA with 10 employees, your CCO or office manager or partner is probably not going to know how to set this up within the Microsoft platform. However, reach out to your IT provider and say, hey, let them listen to this podcast, and then they can go ahead and they can set that up for you. It's really, from our perspective, it's not that difficult, but I don't think it's something that a typical chief compliance officer knows how to set up on their own. But yeah, just, you know, reach out to your IT provider, and if they can help you, fantastic. If not, reach out to us and we're happy to help you.
That sounds great. Anything else you wanted to share with the listeners?
Many, many other things I want to share, but let's keep it focused on the data. There's just a lot, you know, the point is there's a lot of features on the Microsoft platform that RIAs are not using. And I really wanted to focus on the data loss prevention because from an IT compliance perspective, it's powerful. It has a really big impact. And you don't have to be big to leverage these tools. And so this is what I wanted to communicate with the listener today. I hope you found this helpful. If you have any other questions or anything else what we can do, just reach out to us on our website. And with that, thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you, David.